Hello, my name is Patrick from the Fundamental Principle. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to do something a little bit different today. We're just going to kind of talk politics, talk shop, and we'll come back with a reading next week. But I figure there's a lot going on. Huge. It was on February 2nd. There was a huge rug pull, and I'm sure we'll see stock markets bleed into the next week because of all the tariffs. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. But I do want to open up normally with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Soul of Christ, sanctify us. Blood of Christ, save us. Body of Christ, save us. Blood of Christ, inebriate us. Water from Christ's side, wash us. Passion of Christ, strengthen us. O good Jesus, hear us. Within thy wounds, hide us. Suffer us not to be separated from thee. Amen. How you doing? How you doing, Jerome?
I'm great, Patrick. Thanks for having me again.
I mean, you're the color. It's not, you know, you're the color.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I keep talking about this. It's important. You know, you put in a lot of work behind the scenes, and I thought it would be good to talk a little bit lighter, maybe just kind of go over things recently, because there's been a lot of movement in the church and the state, and, you know, our focus is on, you know, the two pillars, the fundamental principles that make both church and state function. And frankly, you know, both our church and our state have been dysfunctional for a really long time, and it looks like things might actually be looking up and starting to turn around, at least in the state a little bit. But at the same time, like, I don't trust Donald Trump. I don't trust J.D. Vance 100%. Like, if they pull off what they say they're going to do, great. That's a good start. But, you know, I always got to be looking for the rug pull. I always got to be looking for the con. You know, Donald Trump launched Melania coin and bilked ordinary people out of millions of dollars. You know, decent people wouldn't have anything to do with Vivek Ramaswamy, who's just a scam artist who belongs in jail.
No, it was between the Trump coin and the Melania coin. It was like $60 billion that was just taken, it was consumed into their wealth. Like, half their wealth now is tied up in this business or whatever. But it's still like $60 billion pulled from his base. An insane amount. An insane amount.
Yeah. Like decent people don't do stuff like that.
Yeah, but I guess we can talk about probably the thing we're most passionate about, the EMJ response towards Bishop Williamson's passing.
That was really disappointing. Let me just be as brief as possible here with me and Dr. Jones. I've interviewed Dr. Jones in the past for other programs. I've read his books, multiple of his books, Slaughter of Cities, you know, Degenerate Moderns, the book on Cardinal Kroll. You know, I've read a lot of his stuff. I've been a culture wars reader since 2004. So, you know, I've been familiar with his work for a long time. But when it comes to matters of race, Dr. Jones is hopeless. You know, this recent debate with Corey Mahler that he lost wasn't the first time it's happened. He lost a debate with Dr. Greg Johnson. And he lost a debate with Jared Taylor. He confronted Ben Shapiro at like a Indiana right to life thing and got blown out there. You know, Ben Shapiro ran rings around him, all because Dr. Jones is temperamentally conservative and refuses to deal with the reality of race. And Dr. Jones, if you're listening to this, I love you, but you're just wrong. And our friends at the WM Review, a wonderful Substack, you guys should check it out if you get a chance. Both Dr. Jones and Bishop Williamson had cultivated followers online of lost young men seeking teachers and mentors who didn't lie to them. And the same sort of thing has happened to me to a much lesser extent. But Bishop Williamson was a teacher before he became a bishop, before he was a priest. I know that Dr. Jones had been a college professor. These young men deserve elders that don't lie to them, that don't destroy their interests out of a sense of greed or societal ennui or whatever. And these young men understood that, you know, Dr. Jones was telling the truth about the Jews, and so they followed him. And they understood that or that Bishop Williamson was telling the truth about the Jews, so they followed him. But Bishop Williamson, unlike Dr. Jones, didn't lie to them about race. He didn't say that, you know, non-whites weren't capable of joining the church. He just said it's not a good idea. Right? He said it's probably not a good idea to marry non-whites if you're white. And that's true.
So I've attended some of his conferences in person, Dr. Jones's conferences. I have Dangers of Beauty signed by him. So, you know, I highly respect Dr. Jones. My big concerns with this is that you can look at the, I know, Corey, if you're listening, there's nothing against you, and I really appreciate the Stone Choir guys, but you can look at, but it, you know, I feel responsible because, like, Dr. Jones is a Catholic and we're Catholic. So it's, you know, it's, we gotta police the, in the, our house. But it, you can look at the comment sections of some of the, of the Dr. Jones and the Corey Mueller debate. And it's just Catholic guys saying they're going to leave the faith because they just can't deal with this because it's just out of touch. And scandalizing people so much that they leave the faith is a sin. Like it's a more, like it's a grave sin. It's a grave error. Like this is straight to hell type of deal. Like, I don't know if you can confess this and like, it'd be okay. Like you have to make up for this. This is like, if you're like, no, if guys are legitimately leaving the faith, like you have to do something to save your soul, to help these guys come back to the faith. Like this is crazy. You're damning souls to hell because, you, or because you can't, Dr. Jones, like, because Dr. Jones, you can't get over a definition. Words change. Your main argument every time has been white meant something 400 years ago. Words change. Like the only thing that's set in amber is Latin. English changes all the time. Like we've seen it. I'm sure how much has the English language degraded in your own lifetime, Dr. Jones? Like this is.
Well, and just in mine, I'm in my mid 40s. Now it's dot. It's a period. The symbol is a period. It's been the end of a sentence for years. And now it's right. It's not a dot. It's a period, right? Words change. The internet has been the biggest driver of linguistic change in the history of the human race. And there are young men on it who have come to embrace the full truth of the Catholic faith because they've seen the chaos that is moral relativism or nihilism or atheism or Protestantism. And then when you lie to those young men and you tell them something as stupid as that race is meaningless and what does white mean, you're not arguing any different than a Jew. Well, what's white mean anyway? You sound just like a Jew, Dr. Jones.
You know, I didn't even think about that. Like that, that to me, and it's like, it's Talmudic to argue definitions like this. You know, it's like, there's no other race that argues that, like, it's spiritually Jewish to argue, like, everybody understands, like, this, I mean, sure, so there's a connotative and there's the denotative definitions of words. Everybody understands, like, what is white? And you're like, well, the phenotype, are you talking about phenotype or are you talking about the etymology, you're talking about the race of somebody? And no, I mean, like, everybody, but apparently you, like, understand.
Well, and you're acting like phenotype has no effect in the real world. Of course it does. There's the phenotypes, the genes influence behavior, like, I don't know, ability to be quiet in public, ability to sit still, violence, sexual continence, ability to delay gratification. Like the skin colors, like of the, you know, 50 things that vary by race, skin colors is in the bottom third of that. And you know it because you've lived in America. You grew up in Philadelphia, Dr. Jones. I don't need to tell you what Philadelphia is like now. That's why you don't live in Philadelphia anymore. Sacred Heart Parish that you talk about all the time was replaced by the Cabrini Green Homes, I believe, but an infamous project where violence and promiscuity and drug use was the order of the day. And you can blame social engineering and the government or whatever, but the fact is, Africans have a proclivity to violence and sexual promiscuity and lack of organization, and they can't, and indulging in whatever it is that they're in front of them right now, when they don't organize and they don't plan for the future, and they like drugs, and it's not insane for white families. Your best book, your greatest book, your cultural achievement, the one thing that has made me a fan of yours, you know, Slaughter of Cities. I built my life around that book and studying the effects and what happened. It's been a disaster for our country. It's been a disaster for the whole world, for a whole society. If global warming is a thing, it's because of things like the Slaughter of Cities and all of us having to move to the suburbs. But you know it's not true, and then you lied about it. And you shot not only your credibility in the foot, but you shot the better credibility of the church in the foot. Because, say, there's Corey Mahler, who I like, makes egregious theological errors, but he doesn't lie. He really believes that Luther was right. And he says so. And he says to you, the listeners out there, that there's nothing wrong with like looking around, seeing that the races are different, that they behave differently, that they believe differently, that they don't get along, that there's conflicts, and acknowledging those realities. Greg Johnson's a secular atheist. Dr. Jones, you lost the debate to him too. Jared Taylor is a lapsed Presbyterian. You lost the debate to him. You are telling young men, go forth and seek logos, seek truth, seek God in the logos. But don't seek logos here with regard to the truth of race. Well, that's how 90% of the young men who are coming to you got here, Dr. Jones. Because it's so put in their face. They were told, you're bad for being white. We're gonna put civil disabilities on you when it comes to college admissions or jobs. You know, 94% of the Fortune 500 jobs that should have gone to these young men so they could form families and be productive citizens and tied to their churches and be the sort of men that you want them to be, Dr. Jones. 94% of the jobs that Fortune 500 companies passed out in the last 6 years went to non-white men, or non-whites and non-men. So how else are these young men supposed to take it? They went to college, got good grades, worked hard, and they were just put out. I can remember watching a TikTok reel, young man, handsome, good-looking athlete, you know, like a 4.2 GPA, you know, high SAT score, and he didn't, you know, he applied to Harvard, didn't get in, applied to Yale, didn't get in, applied everywhere. He didn't get in anywhere. But trans disabled lesbians of color got in. Why? Because there's an anti-white racial animus in America.
It's like all these like legitimate like Hamas supporting terrorists, like whatever you believe about Hamas, Israel, Palestine, put it aside. But it's like these people could be terrorists. At one point, they could be radicalized into terrorism, and they're getting deported. They should be here in the first place. There shouldn't be a war in the Middle East in the first place. You're telling me that these Palestinians or these Lebanese are here taking like these Ivy League jobs from white Americans because we can't stop supporting Israel? And you know, I don't know what to say to that.
Well, or women, like these women should be in college. They should be home being mothers. Why are we encouraging women to go to graduate school in useless degrees with 90% of the time what they pick, so that their fertility is gone and they've fornicated all across the university, so their possibility to pair bond and be a decent wife and a decent mother is gone? Why can't we talk about the anti-white racial animus in public schools? Do you remember the Duke LaCrosse case, Dr. Jones? I know you do because you wrote about it in Culture Wars.
Is that the
Duke LaCrosse case, you know, where the white frat boys who played on the Duke LaCrosse team, you know, Mike Nifong, the Jew, I believe, district attorney, tried to get these guys thrown in jail. He was...
I vaguely remember this because I don't think I was.
Yeah. Stephen Miller was at Duke at the time. So was Richard Spencer. They got radicalized by this.
Oh, well, yeah, this is way before me.
Yeah, I've been around a long time, so I remember this. Okay. Well, Dr. Jones, that was a white racial animus. And as long as you continue to lie.
Yeah, 07. Yeah, that was, I was not even, I was, how, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're probably in elementary school, but I'm old as dirt. So, but this, right? You can't tell white young men that have been discriminated against their entire lives. You know, your average groiper, you know, Nick Fuentes is 26, so he was born in 1999, I believe. Okay? So when he was in diapers still, 9/11 happened. And ever since then, instead of kicking Muslims out of this country, instead of saying, why are these people with this completely incompatible religion even allowed here? We allowed them to come in bigger numbers after 9/11. They've completely taken over Detroit, parts of Detroit and Hamtramck. You know, it used to be Paul Town. Well, the Catholics didn't have enough kids. Why didn't they have kids, Dr. Jones? Because the government discriminated against the white Polacks there by forcing them to move 2 hours away by the slaughter of cities. So they couldn't afford kids anymore, Dr. Jones, or they didn't have their parents nearby, so they didn't have babysitters, so they had the one kid, and then they started contracepting. At risk of their souls because they couldn't afford any more kids. Because they couldn't use public schools because they had to pay $10,000 a year to some private school or homeschool. Or inflation destroyed their wages. I mean, there's a million and one things that have been done to white people by the Zog regime. And you can't pretend that it wasn't. And God bless Bishop Williamson, who I believe is a saint in heaven. Amen. But he understood that these young men were being destroyed and attacked constantly, spiritually attacked, physically attacked, morally attacked. And God bless you, Dr. Jones, you understand the problem with pornography, that it's a moral attack, that it's a weapon. But so is inflation, and so is having to drive 2 hours a day. And so are all these other things that are anti-white. They're anti-white families. They're anti-white children. Right now, you're not safe taking your white kids to a park in Europe. Your children might just get stabbed. Gemma Doherty, I have problems with Gemma, but she's right. You know, the white Irish are under attack because they're white. There's no reason for any African. They can't assimilate to being Polish. They could learn Polish. They can convert to the Catholic faith, but they'll never be Polish. They'll never be French. They'll be what they are. Non-white people squatting in a better civilization that they could ever build for themselves. Prone to violence. Not productive. Economically a drain. Prone to being insane. And just generally a drain on society. And you know it. And if you don't know it, you should retire. Because you've been editor of a thought criminal magazine where everyone who reads you knows this stuff and as you've been telling you about it for 30 years. And you lost debates to Greg Johnson, and you lost debates to Jared Taylor, and you lost to Ben Shapiro, made you look like a fool when you talked to him at the Right to Life thing, because you refuse to deal with the realities of race. And the church right now is going bankrupt. Because the white taxpayers that have had a gun pointed at their head for the last 50 years.
With LifeSite News, USCCB funnels 90% of its budget into illegal immigration. And
yep.
Only 1% into pro-life efforts.
That's right. Well, call me crazy, but I don't want to go to church with illegal immigrants from Mexico. They might be Catholic. But I don't want to go to church. They're not my people. They're not people that I want my children around.
Even if you're not like racist or racial or whatever, like, but you find out that it's like, okay, all of our donations are not going to pro-life efforts. Are you crazy? Like, that's the huge. I got years ago. I got like a discussion where I'm like, I don't think there's no point in doing the pro-life march because it doesn't do anything. It's 70 years been going on, hasn't done anything. And it's like, okay, well, now we know that all of the funding for this massive religious organization, non-government organization, supposed to be like leading the faith to Jesus Christ, isn't spending any of his budget
on and the building most
offensive things in the world.
Yeah, sins the cry to heaven for vengeance. Right? Because letting in illegal immigrants is injustice to the wage earner. Yeah. Right? It's a tool of capitalism. Non-whites are a weapon of oligarchy.
And it's a tool. It's been going on since 300 years, 350 years, almost 400 years.
Right, yeah. So if you're pro-worker, Dr. Jones, be pro-white. Let us establish our own communities. And, you know, the bishops, right, they're going to go bankrupt. The Archdiocese of New Orleans is trying to steal money from a food bank to fund their operations.
I hear this.
Anthony Stein reported on it a couple days ago.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, we're recording this on February 2nd. So, you know, like, do you understand that this government NGO complex where no bishops, I'm not saying no, but okay, Bishop Strickland genuinely tried to live the faith. Bishop Papraki, maybe. Bishop Sample, Archbishop Sample. There might be a dozen bishops who genuinely want to believe what the church teaches and teach what the church believes to their flocks. Maybe. But the vast majority of American bishops are government employee catamites. They're elderly homosexual men who steal money from taxpayers and use it to fund their lavish lifestyles and their communist NGOs. And, you know, come at me. I'll defend that all day long. You could say extra ecclesiam nullius aus about Bishop Williamson, but he was the best bishop in the world and one of the only bishops in the world to actually defend the faith and the faithful on the things that actually mattered.
But, you used how many debates were there, or their discussions where you guys talked about the Holocaust that you built?
At least four.
You built your platform off his back, and you're gonna tell us he's in hell. I don't know if I can't imagine, you know, betraying somebody isn't a sin, or being malicious isn't a sin like that. I haven't read the Catechism a while and regarding of that in that regard, but it's just dirty. That's filthy. That's disgusting. I would never. I can't imagine anybody of decent moral faith.
Right. Even someone who I despise, like Ben Shapiro, who's been a sociopathic warmonger my entire adult life. I have columns of his from 2004 when he was writing on World Net Daily, right? This rabidly Zionist Joseph Farah, the Palestinian Christian who's more pro-Jewish than he is pro his own people. Psychopath. But Ben Shapiro called for the total destruction of the Palestinian people in print. And when Ben Shapiro dies, God see it soon. I'm going to say it's a good thing that Ben Shapiro isn't destroying people's lives. Let us pray that he had the grace of final repentance and was baptized in the church. You can't muster enough charity, Dr. Jones, to say, you know, he was someone I worked with for many years. May he rest in peace. I hope that his soul was saved. We should hope for everybody's soul to be saved, even our enemies, especially our enemies. And here's this one, the one bishop in the world that would tell the truth with you and not run away from you and call you an anti-Semite. You can complain all day long about Pat Coffin, you know, rescinding your invitation to events because you're an anti-Semite and Janet Smith won't talk to you. And Jim, well, here's this one bishop, the one bishop in the world with the huevos to tell the truth about the Jews. And when he goes to his eternal reward as a good and faithful servant, you, Dr. Jones, you say he's in hell. That is a disgusting, low, craven, cowardly act, and I'm very disappointed. I can't imagine stooping that low. I literally can't imagine. I used to think that you were just somebody who was a boomer who didn't get race.
I didn't realize how much hate you have in your heart.
Yeah, it was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. Honestly, it was appalling. It was appalling that you did that, Dr. Jones. And I just have to say, like, I don't know why you feel this way. Why? I mean, I don't know if you have non-white grandchildren or you just got programmed by the television or what. But you're an old man.
Putting this argument aside, if you want, the fastest growing subsect in Catholicism in the Western world is the traditional Catholics.
Well, the only Catholics that are growing in the Western world are traditional.
Are you not pro-Catholic anymore? Or is it just like you're so anti-trad that you're anti-Catholic? Or are they not Catholic? I mean, they go to Mass, they believe in this, that, and the other. Sure, I understand. Like, I've heard the arguments against the SSPX and the CMRI and this, that, and the other. Sure, I get the hesitation. But, like, you can just look at the fruits and see, like, these people are growing. God clearly wants these organizations to grow.
Yeah, their seminaries are full. Their families are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 children or more. The Novus Ordo faith, I mean, if it even is the faith, you know, Bishop Williamson and many others have, you know, the late great Father Anthony Shikata, Bishop Daniel Dolan, they pretty conclusively prove that you know, and you yourself, Dr. Jones, have talked about Nostra Aetate and the problems with Nostra Aetate. Well, is Nostra Aetate Catholic or not? It's not.
Is there a diocese in North America that's just Novus Ordo that isn't collapsing in on itself?
No, there's not.
That isn't like doing like a Beacons of Light program or I don't know whatever they're calling it. I think it depends. But it's like, I don't know of one that isn't closing down churches and selling off properties.
And going broke.
Yeah.
And losing people. And losing people by the dozens. You know, who stayed open during the COVID?
The traditional churches.
Right. Well, your bishops, the bishops that you say bring the true faith, you know, the Pope of the Catholic Church, who's just a vile old communist, Bergoglio, they said our jobs aren't that important. Well, millions of people all around the world believed him. And the thing that, you know, truth, I'm not a big fan of Hans-Urs von Balthasar for a lot of reasons, but he did say one thing that I think is really important. It's truth's a symphony. You know, Dr. Jones, you know a fair bit about classical music. I know you do because I've been reading your column for 20 years. When Mozart or a Bach symphony comes up, every single piece, it might feature the horn concerto, might feature a French horn as the main piece, but the drums and the violins and the bassoons all support that other piece. They all fit together. It's a wonderful demonstration of the nature of logos. It all fits together. It all weaves together in this beautiful symphony. Well, truth is a symphony, Dr. Jones. And truth is that the races are different, that the Jews are anti-logos, that they subvert wherever they are, that they use non-whites as a bludgeon against white Christian societies, that feminism is a Jewish weapon. And if you can't admit these things, not only are you lying to young men who depend on you to tell them the truth, because their colleges have lied to them and discriminated against them. Their teachers in high school have lied to them and discriminated against them. The news media has lied to them and discriminated against them. So when they find someone who's this honest man, like Diogenes looking for an honest man, they found E. Michael Jones, this honest man will tell them the truth about the Jews and about how pornography is a weapon that's used to destroy their lives. And that's true. It's a Jewish weapon. Al Goldstein hates Jesus Christ. That's why he produces pornography. He said so himself. You've talked about it millions of times, or many, many times, maybe not millions. Okay. Well, who's in the pornography, Dr. Jones? White Catholic girls and Jewish men. That's who's in pornography. Black men having sex with white women. Is that good? No, it's terrible. You know, the scriptures are pretty clear that we're to seek wives from amongst our own people. And Bishop Williamson said, you know, it's not against the scriptures, but it's not a good idea. I didn't make him a hopeless bigot. It's just telling the truth. And if you can't tell the truth about one thing, or you lie about one thing, instead of that truth symphony that all supports each other, you're starting to introduce dissonances. It'd be like trying to play a shredding guitar solo in the middle of a Bach piano concerto for harpsichord. But they're both string instruments. What's the problem? Well, it's completely dissonant. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. It doesn't support each other. And
I think we made the point.
I'm very, very disappointed and very angry. And I just, Dr. Jones, I love you and I want the best for you. I want you to succeed. I want you to get to heaven. Defaming good men and lying to young men who depend on you is a terrible way to spend your last years. Please consider mending your ways and telling the truth about race and the truth about the traditionalist movement. Your Novus Ordo bishop does not care if children go to hell. Your Novus Ordo bishop does not care if the faith isn't spread. You know, your diocese in Kansas or in St. Joseph in Indiana, in South Bend, if your bishop was a real Catholic bishop, Notre Dame would be under interdict. But it's not. And that's all you need to know. Your bishop does not hold the Catholic faith.
And this is the last thing we're going to say. We're going to move on. If you don't have the humility to repent and change your ways and apologize and come to the conclusion that, you know, you're wrong about race, then I would ask you to retire and spend the remaining days in saying the rosary and going to adoration and spending time with your grandkids. Because I know you got a lot of kids. You know, be a good grandpa, be a good Catholic, pray your rosary, go to adoration. That's all I really have to say. I don't think you can humble yourself to admit that you were wrong about race. But anyways, that being said, I think we're going to move to, what do you want to talk about, Donald Trump? Or you want to talk about, what else?
Donald Trump, actually. I think it's important. J.D. Vance, God bless him, talked about the Ordo Amoris, and all of a sudden,
was he like quoting, subtweeting a show, or I don't know?
No, he just mentioned, like, was in an interview and he talked about it. But I, and good for him, right? You know, to quote St. Augustine and St. Thomas and to deliver the true church teaching. And
so they were arguing, I don't know if you, the context of this is that, I guess this Rory Stewart, I didn't look up who he was or what's he talking about, but it was, we have moral duty to our children, to the strangers that live thousands of miles away. That's okay. Awesome. That we're all supporting children over strangers.
Which is straight out of St. Paul.
My question would be, like, what about, you know, marrying people that you grew up around?
Yeah, what's wrong with the people from Ohio? Right, like, you know,
Alaska, Kentucky. He's from Middletown, in between Columbus and Cincinnati and Dayton.
And if Donald Trump is sincere about all of his trying to do good things for Americans, if J.D. Vance is sincere, great, good. It's a great start. to restore what's been destroyed over the last half century or more of a functioning American polity. Good.
I am definitely the last, this what, since the 20th, I am very happy with everything that's kind of happened so far.
It's a great start, but I got to see some results. I got to see real concrete results. I got to, you know, and Donald Trump, honest men do not do pump and dump schemes to take billions of dollars from your supporters right before you enter the White House.
I do. I think guys forget that all of his grandkids are Jewish.
Well, Semites. His middle daughter married a Lebanese guy.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. Unless hopefully Barron can marry a nice white gal, continue.
Yeah. Maybe he can marry a nice Central European Catholic gal, and keep the, because, you know, his family's German and Scottish, so yeah. Don Jr. like divorced his Jewish wife and ended up shacking up with being Eskimo bros with Gavin Newsom, was kept a concubine with Gavin Newsom's ex-wife for many years, and then they broke up and she's now the ambassador to Greece, right? Ambassador to Hellas. I believe Eric Trump is married to a Jewess. I think they're still married, but like, these are not people that are particularly morally outstanding. I don't require my politicians to be morally outstanding. They're politicians. I don't have much expectation, but I do think that, Donald Trump is on probation until he delivers the stuff that he said he's going to deliver. Like right now, he's written a lot of pretty decent executive orders, but until those are actually enforced and the law and non-reversible, they're just for show.
Yeah, I mean,
J.D. Vance can talk ordo amoris all he wants, but his kids don't look like him, and I don't trust him because his interests for a future that his kids are comfortable and a future where my kids are comfortable are not the same.
I mean, like, it's, you know, J.D. Vance has been in this like homosexual techno bro, a Jewish, social class for what, 20 years?
Ever since he went to Yale Law School, I think.
That's a long time to be outside of
right. And
working class in Middletown, Ohio. Verging on just poverty stricken.
Well, and why was it poor? And why is Ohio poor? Because it was made poor by the oligarch class that he hangs out with, right? Ohio produced, you know, the Springfield Armory. Where's that at? Isn't that in Ohio?
I think it's in, you're thinking of Springfield, Vermont, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, like, but Ohio, right, not only did it produce the men that won the war between the states, but a lot of the stuff that was produced that won the war between the states was produced in Ohio. You know, a lot of the steel, you know, that won the Cold War went through, you know,
AKG Cleveland. It was in Middletown, Ohio. It's now owned by a Chinese
company. Right, you know, a lot of the tanks that were tanks and trucks and stuff that were used to win the Second World War were at least partially assembled in Ohio. Certainly, the American Midwest and the Rust Belt. You know, that's who won the Second World War, was, you know, working class dudes in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Indiana and Michigan that built the tanks and trucks and planes, and, you know, most of Russia's ammunition came from the United States. And
I looked up
their rivals.
10 best local businesses in Middletown, Ohio. It's cafes and bookstores. There's a laundromat. There's no manufacturing. It used to be a huge steel plant. And there's a farm, and it's just like bougie stuff. This isn't anything serious. This isn't a serious town because they can't have, because all the serious businesses were gutted. There should be manufacturing all around 75. There should be manufacturing. Because that's one of the biggest highways from north to south in America.
And they were gutted specifically because to give those types of jobs to white men empowers them. When they say, you know, hey, buddy, I make your tanks. I make your airplanes. I drill the oil that you need to win your wars. You can at least provide my kids a decent school where they're safe and they learn something. When I pay my taxes, I want something back. And you need me to do whatever it is that you need. And you can see it. You know, after the Cold War, they were like, oh, well, we're just going to screw all these people. Well, you know, this is one thing Dr. Jones is right about. The Israelis thought that they could coast forever on a functioning America and undermine it. And they can't. And J.D. Vance can talk a good game about the order of loves and we need to love our own families first and our neighbors and then, you know, our nation and then, you know, our state and then our nation and then, you know, we can't really care about the rest of the world when someone next door is hurting. That's all true. But I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. And unless and until I see things like the left-wing NGO that's described, that the non-Gentile organization that is the USCCB gutted, destroyed. All the left-wingers who sit in the chanceries and put poison in the ears of our children and don't teach the faith and withhold money from pro-life stuff and give it to illegal immigrants to displace me and take my job. Until those people are out, I don't want to hear it.
I mean, yeah. Trump can...
Yeah, I want those people out.
Trump can, you know, defund, like, the racist left... NGOs or government groups in South Africa, but like, when's that going to start happening in America? When's that going to happen in the Midwest? When's that going to happen in the South? You know, he's the president of the United States, but he's doing more. Yeah, it's awesome that he's supporting the bars. I'm not going to counter signal that, but it's like, when are you going to support your home country white boys? You're supposed to lead us. When is that going to happen, Mr. President? I know we have a lot of intersection with a lot of good folks, you know, in the Old Glory Club, and it's, I'm not, you know, I listen to what you guys say, and it's, you know, if it happens, it's true. You know, I like, as we mentioned, I like the Project 2025 so far, you know, big double thumbs up for me. My concern, though, is when's the rug pull going to happen? If it... This presidency started with a $60 billion rug pull. When's that? There's going to be another one. You know, Trump, you know, I'm Trump grew up in Jewish New York. You don't stop acting like he acts like a white Jew. His mannerisms, everything, he acts just like a rabbi. His weird mannerisms. He doesn't act like a white guy. He doesn't act like a white 7-year-old or a white 6-year-old. That he acts like an old Jewish man. I'm all for listening to your guys' shows. But it's, you know, I can't get behind this president until there's material changes.
Nope. And no one should trust him or anybody that attacks the white Christian base, white working class Christian base of this country. Because everything that you have depends on guys like me and Patrick going out in the cold, doing dangerous stuff, pulling oil out of the ground, putting that oil in a pipe, putting that stuff from the pipe into a refinery, taking the stuff from refinery, putting in, you know, like there's a million and one hard, difficult, dangerous things that guys like us do. And we get stolen from, and that our money gets taken from taxes and it gets given to people who do nothing all day and deserve nothing but the contempt from people like us. So if Donald Trump, if you're listening, if there's people who would listen, you know, like we as ourselves, as traditional Catholics, as white men, we are the backbone of your civilization.
We're the backbone of the Russian, the Holy Roman Empire. Every great empire in Europe that's ever existed, that spanned across the entire world, has been built on the backs of white Christian men.
Right. And we demand, as ourselves, to a seat at the table and to not be taken advantage of anymore. No more rug pulls. No more thefts. No more oppression by oligarchies. We deserve a right to do business. We deserve not to have our wages stolen. We deserve to be able to say, as white people, we want certain things. As traditionalists, we deserve certain things. We demand the full, as the scriptures say, the faith once handed unto the saints, passed to our children. I want the full traditional baptisms. I want the traditional mass. I want the traditional confirmations. I want the traditional weddings, because it's failed. If you know, Cardinal McElroy is now Cardinal Archbishop of Sodom and the Potomac, right? Well, Cardinal, if you were an NGO with metrics the way all of your other NGOs that are dependent on government funds are, instead of just the church, and you lost as many people as you guys have lost, and you've seen as much a decline as you guys have seen, you'd all be fired.
I will believe that there's a new leaf coming if Benjamin Netanyahu gets arrested on his criminal charges put on to him by the world courts, as far as war crimes. If he gets arrested, then, you know, then everything I said today, I'll put my MAGA hat on for the first time. I've never voted for Donald Trump. I can't vote for a guy who has all Semite grandkids. Call me stupid, this, that, and the other, but I'm not going to do it.
I didn't vote for him this past time either. I voted for him the first time in 2016, but I did not vote.
I was my libertarian phase anti, you know, I did not vote. But no, I will put the MAGA hat back on, not even back on, first time MAGA hat, if Benjamin Netanyahu gets arrested.
He's a war criminal that kills Christian kids.
Israel already broke ceasefire. It's been less than 2 weeks, and they already broke the ceasefire. Like, this is.
Yeah, he's a war criminal that kills Christian kids in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Syria, simply because they're Christian kids.
Yeah, you can't tell me like the Christians of Beirut aren't praying their rosaries. I mean, they're Catholics. Like, Lebanon's a Catholic country, or Catholic and what, Sunni. Beirut's predominantly Catholic.
Yeah, it's Paris of the Middle East for a reason. You know, there were Syrians who had Christmas trees, and then Zog destroyed Assad, and until these things change, until we are allowed to say we are white, we are Christianist, we are Catholic. And not only do we demand the ability to speak for ourselves as ourselves, but you're wrong, and you're obviously wrong. White countries are better than non-white countries. The traditional faith grows when the Novus Ordo faith does not.
Bishop Williamson, when Christian power, when Catholic power increases, Jewish power decreases. When Jewish power decreases, Catholic power increases.
Yep. That's the truth. That's 100% the truth. And the only bishop in the world, as far as I'm aware, there might be non-English speaking bishops who talk like this, but the one bishop in the world,
I think Sanborn in
he's not as
late excellency.
Pro-one.
I mean, they talked about the Jewish problem.
They didn't talk about being pro-white though.
No.
And Bishop Pavanis is actively not pro whites, so I'm a little skeptical of some of those guys. But the only person who publicly commented, the only bishop who protected his flock, to use that crozier in the manner in which it was intended, was Bishop Richard Nelson Williamson. And he was the greatest bishop in the world, and he will be missed. I believe he will be a saint in heaven one day, along with his great compatriot and mentor, Archbishop Lefebvre, who will, I believe, be a saint and a doctor one day.
Wasn't it also Augustine that got excommunicated?
Athanasius.
Yeah, Athanasius, and then John Chrysostom got excommunicated. And they, you know, obviously they're doctors of the church. So, I mean, I don't know. Times change, words change, definitions change.
Yes.
Glory of God is forever. Glory of heaven's forever. We're coming about 50 minutes. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, just that, don't rest on your laurels out there, gentlemen. Keep pushing, you know. Hold Trump accountable to the extent that you can. If you're a poster, you know, don't let the supposed W's that you might see online hold them accountable.
Yeah, don't be afraid to speak up, and the good vibe train coming as the good vibes train roll on.
Yeah, and you know, within the church itself, keep demanding the traditional faith. Every diocese is bankrupt. So, you know, say you'll give them money when you give you back the true mass. And not before.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, thank you very much. So we're going to release this today. This is going to be Monday by the time we release it. But, like, first Friday this week, guys. Confessions, first Fridays, adorations. If you can knock it all out this week, please do so. I'm gonna make. I mean, I did my nine first Friday consecration, but I still go when I can, because I think it's very important.
Yep. Amen.
If there's any comments, questions, concerns, please email the show, and email is obviously in the show notes. Anything else before we sign out?
Let's just close with an Ave, as the.
We normally do, yes. Thank you.
In the name of the Father and the Son, Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you so much, Patrick. Have a good week.